Hey, legends, you know, none of our interviews or episodes ever date, ever. They are all timeless and ready for you for when you're ready to listen. Download the lot and rip in.
The following is rated MA. Some people may find it offensive. It contains language, adult themes, and immature content, as well as fart jokes. There will be lots of fart jokes. Listener discretion is advised. You've been warned.
This is the Weekly Wodge, and it's origin time already, the best of the best, and we've got a lineup that's very much best of the best too. On this episode, eight interviews, not opinions. We're going to listen to the facts and stories from the superstars of the game. That's what we're doing again. Enjoy. Confidence is an amazing thing. We can't actually measure it. We don't know where it comes from, where it goes, when it leaves, why it leaves. But when you've got it, you're next to unstoppable. The confidence Abby Corrissau in these young kids at Penrith, it's amazing, the mental side of professional sport.
Yeah, that's a great point. Being confident is a key thing, you know, in sport. And I think it's just so natural to these kids. They've grown up with success in their footy, success in the lower grades, and it just seems to be showing up here as well. You know, they're confident outside of the football field, and everything just translates. It looks like a bunch of best friends just getting out there and having some fun.
That's the key, isn't it? Because even at training, whether it's on the basketball court, in the gym, or out on the training field, it's a bunch of carefree youngsters just doing their thing.
Yeah, and I've been to a few clubs now, and you know the professionalism has always been up there, and sometimes that's sort of just put a dampen on the mood a little bit around training. But these guys just know how to be professional, but also have fun at the same time, and I think they just like being around each other a lot, and it's actually a really, really nice environment to come into and be a part of.
After 30 years of interviewing coaches and players in a variety of sports where when the camera is on, it's all smiles, I can assure you it's not always comfortable, polite, or even professional when the cameras and microphones are off. For another episode, I'll tell you the story about the press conference where Des Hasler and I ripped into one another mid-press conference, and were actually taken into a separate part of the Manly dressing room at Brookvale Oval by an official and continued an extremely animated and expletive-dominated argument. But we were separated before it went any further. Des actually called me names and combined others that I had never heard before. But that's for another time. Anyway, not every interview is easy or comfortable. Tony Adams, a.k.a. The Mole, 40 years in the game. We've all had a few interviews and moments in our professional lives, mate. What's been your most uncomfortable?
Yeah, I've got to go back a fair few years, Andy, to a fellow called Donnie McKinnon, played for North and Manly, played for Australia.
Yeah.
Lovely fellow, and I actually had a coffee with him and Cliffy Lyons and Brett Camorley and a few other fellas, Johnny Gibbs, recently, and we sort of laughed about it. But Donnie was a long-time servant of North Sydney, and I heard he was retiring. And so I rang him up basically just to do a tribute for the old Daily Mirror. Those of you old enough, although over 50, I guess, will remember the Daily Mirror, which is no longer with us. And I come to find out that Donnie had actually been sacked by North and wasn't retiring and wanted to play on. And so I made that the story on the back page the next day. And poor old Donnie, he rang me up and he was almost in tears. He was a fellow who just didn't want to be offensive, didn't want to cause any grief. He was quite happy to hang up his boots and retire gracefully, even though North said, it'd given him the boot. And so they agreed on this story that, he was retiring. And he said, mate, why did you write that? And I felt really guilty about it. It wasn't quite Hasler-esque in that we weren't swearing and yelling at each other, but I just felt very low, even though I was just writing the truth. But the story had a happy ending because basically Bob Fulton and Manly picked up the paper and thought, gee, we need a big front row with a bit of experience. And he gave Donnie a contract, and Donnie went over to Manly. His first game for Manly was, of course, at Lang Park, which was also the Broncos' first game in 1988, and was the very famous game where he got caught doing a little wee-wee on the field.
That's right.
Yes, but after that little episode where he got, I think, a couple of weeks suspension, it was all up and up for Donnie, and he finished his career pretty well with 2 years for Manly. So at least the story had a nice ending.
Good ending. Hey, Tone, where can we find you on social media, mate?
Mate, look for me on Twitter. That's where I love putting all my juicy stuff, @9_Moley, and the Wide World of Sports website for Channel 9.
Griffin Air Conditioning, the legends servicing the Sydney metro area for both domestic and commercial air conditioning installations and maintenance. They've got it all. And Galaxy Finance for all your financial needs, concerns or questions. If you've got a worry, any issues or just need some clarity, call them now. Both companies are offering special deals for Unfiltered listeners. They're our sponsors and you can contact them and tell them you heard about them on Unfiltered. They will sort you 100%. Their contact details are on our website, andyraymondunfiltered.com.au. Check them out there. There's direct links. They're the best and they're here to look after Unfiltered listeners. If you'd like to be part of the Unfiltered team, get in touch. Go to the website, andyraymondunfiltered.com.au. Hit the sponsorship tab. We've got several different levels of sponsorship that cater to all levels of business or budget. Or if you just need to use that budget before the end of the financial year, we'll work something out short term and immediately. They're not handed out regularly, so when they are, they're very, very special. I'm talking life membership to a footy club. In 2017, Ben Gallier was made a life member of the West Tigers. How special was that award, Benny?
Oh, mate, amazing. You know, I played my whole NRL career for Balmain and West Tigers. Give it everything, Andy, you know, and to receive a life membership and recognition for what you'd given to the club was not so much a shock, because I was always hopeful that I would get life membership, but just an awesome feeling to know that you've been recognised for your commitment to the club and for what you've given to the club.
Fondest memories of your time at the Tigers? Does the 05 Premiership just stand head and shoulders above the rest?
Oh, from playing point of view, absolutely. You know, it's something it's a dream come true, and something that a lot of people didn't expect. So that moment in terms of playing is something that I'll never forget and stands out by a mile. But it's the friendships, Andy, and the people that you meet and the relationships that you make in that time when you're at a club for a long period of time. They're people that are with you for the rest of your life, and that's probably something that I've taken away from the Tigers as much as anything is the contacts and the friendships that I made when I was there.
Do you still follow the Tigers, mate? Do you still follow the footy? Because for Tigers fans, it's been a bit of a battle since 05, hasn't it?
Certainly has. I do follow the Tigers. As you probably know, I've worked in the bunker for the last 7 years. And on many, many occasions I've been in the bunker when the Tigers have been playing and wanted to throw something at the TV, but I've restrained. But I've also, this year, first year, I've actually been involved with a club. Yeah. So I've gone back and started helping out Balmain SG Ball. I love been involved, mate, like you, like yourself. I always want to be part of the game. It's something that's been in my life for as long as I can remember, and Balmain and West Tigers are my club, mate.
Thanks for dropping in, Benny. Chat again soon.
No worries, mate. Cheers.
Positional play changes, the role of a position changes from year to year, from club to club, and from rule change to rule change. Ewan Aiken has dropped in. Mate, you debuted as a kid in 2015. Has centre play changed in that time in terms of what you need to do or what the coach asks you to do?
I think it changes year to year and sometimes game to game. There's all different processes. Some years you go with a bit more of aggressive defence and some years you're a bit more of a hybrid or a bit more passive. So it all depends on the coach and what he wants, but it's sometimes a little bit of a tinkering thing, and obviously the players work differently in different scenarios as well. So it's just trying to work on what works best for that age and building on that. But I think it's become a bit more expansive as a centre, which is great. The real changes have allowed a bit more open play, which is also good for outside backs and all that sort of thing. So, there's stuff to learn coming with you this year. There's a few different rule changes coming up, but I'm looking forward to just having that more expansive play. And I think it's, as I'm fit and I'm fast, it definitely works into my hands.
Is there now more and harder work as a centre, with you and the wingers being required a lot of the time to carry the ball back after kicks or restarts?
Yeah, I'm definitely one of them players that loves to get the team forward and loves to put some effort in there at the back to get the team going forward and create some momentum. So, yeah, that's a lot of work sometimes, and depending on what edge, some teams have got a bit more dominant. So if they're attacking your edge as well, sometimes you can make a fair few tackles and then obviously go back for a fair few runs as well. So sometimes centres get that sort of stigma, they don't do too much, but I feel like I've always been one of them sort of hard-working centres that have always tackled hard and always got involved as much as I could. Sometimes I don't get the opportunities in attack for whatever reason, sometimes just because the team isn't going performing that well, but I love getting involved in any way I can, and sometimes if that's just working hard to get the team forward, I'm happy to do that. So anything I can do for the team.
The Legend Series, I love it. I hope you do too. You know, at any one time, you can go back and listen to a Legend Series interview. Actually, you can go back and listen to any of our podcasts. All of them are timeless, so it doesn't matter when you listen to them. Even though you may not have heard them when they first came out, they're timeless. They won't date. They'll make sense. They're ready for you for when you're ready. Let's rewind back to episodes 51 and 52, a Legend Series interview with the great Kevvy Walters. At the end of 1990, after just 12 months, or not even that, with the Brisbane Broncos, you were selected, although didn't play a test for the 1990.
One of the great emus, Andy, I am.
One of the great emus. And the emu is the touring party that doesn't actually play test matches.
That's right.
You're a midweek guy.
That's right, yeah, and loved it. I was pinching myself, you know, in 1990 at the international airport. We left out of Sydney and I'm on the plane for a kangaroo tour. I just couldn't believe the year that I had.
Yeah.
For the Broncos, the year before, you know, I was in and out of first grade at the Raiders, played in the grand final, of course, but without any major impact in that. But I just had one of those years that will always stay with me. It was a great year for us, the Broncos. We made it into the finals, I think into the preliminary final, and the Raiders sort of dished it up to us in that quite handsomely. But then 2 weeks later, I'm on a plane to England, living the dream.
Yeah.
Playing for the – I knew that I wasn't going to play too many tests. Well, I had that opinion because in front of me was, you know, Laurie Daly and Cliffy Lyons and myself were the other sort of 5'8s, you know, and there was other guys too, like Des Hasler, Greg Alexander was Randy, on that tour. Just a wealth of great players. So I was just happy to, you know
– one of the great touring parties.
Oh, it was, yeah. And so I was – you know, Alfie was there as well, Kerrod, my brother. So, it was just great times, and I was so happy to be on that plane and on my way to England. And even in England was a great tour, you know, playing against the English sides, the club sides midweek. It was a great experience, you know.
To be able to do it with your brother, I mean, that's just enormous. And as you said, Kerrod was on the tour, but to be able to do it with your mate Alfie, the stories about you and Alfie, especially late night on that 1990 Kangaroo tour, are legendary. The wrestling. Anywhere and everywhere and constantly. Is it true that regularly After a few beers, the rest of the touring party would basically clean the floor of any chairs or tables and encourage you and Alf to wrestle into a match or another rematch, as it was.
Well, we used to, we were just sort of a bit of fun, but we're also a bit competitive. And then we'd challenge other blokes to, you know, if they were laughing or poking us, you know, well, come on, in you come and, you know, join in the fun sort of thing. Of course, traditionally on those kangaroo tours, they have the big man, little man day where the big men, you know, wrestle the little man. We had that as well. And I remember Alf sort of dishing it up to Spud Carroll and a few others. It was good times and all in good fun. There was no seriousness about us, you know, and I thought Bob Fulton did a wonderful job, because when you got 24, 25 footballers, all from different clubs, all wanting to play in that test arena, you know, you've got to mix it up with a bit of fun and a bit of camaraderie, and that's what that was all about. We got on famously with all the players, you know, on tour. I particularly remember the Penrith players, you know, Mark Geyer, Greg Alexander, Brad Fittler and John Cartwright. Mm. So before we left, I didn't really know those guys at all. And we sort of had a pact with Brisbane that we'll sort these Penrith blokes, because there was myself, Chris Johns, Michael Hancock, Alfie Langer, Kerrod. Trying to think, there might have been Dale Shearer.
Dale Shearer was there.
Rowdy. So there was a lot of us there as well. But we got on famous with those Penrith blokes. We got on famously with everyone, but more so the Penrith guys. It was a really great tour.
This is Andy Raymond Unfiltered. Hope you're enjoying the weekly Wodge. The Penrith Junior Nursery and the Pathways program is the grouse. It's the envy of the other 15 clubs. Big numbers and wonderful young players. The best junior side I've seen, and I've said it before, the Panthers 20s of about 2015, 2016. The 15 side read like this. Get a load of these names. Brent Naden, Fui Anisi, Robert Jennings, Maliko Foligno, Dylan Edwards, Tyrone May, Jerome Luai, Oliver Clark, Sony Luke, Moses Leota, James Fisher-Harris, Corey Harawira-Naida, Reed Izzard, and the bench, Cade Ellis, Thompson Tuigamala, Payapua, and Jake Ennis. Wow. The best of the lot, in my opinion, has dropped in for a chat. Tyrone May, that is an awesome age footy side, mate.
Yeah, it is. Just reading out the names then, you didn't realise how many were going to, I guess, kick on and or go to that next level. And it's kind of, you pinch yourself that so many have and so many are still together now.
The best of the lot. Who do you reckon? If there was one player that you all knew was going to be a superstar, who was it?
Oh, I guess everyone knew Rob Jennings, like back coming through the juniors, like he was doing some crazy stuff. SG Ball and that, like you can tell that he was always the level above whatever age group he was playing at. And we were lucky enough that like he come back and played 20s really. I think he was playing first grade the year before and like just doing all freaky stuff, and like he just fell into our lap in 20s somehow.
Mate, amazing talent. And he probably had it a bit harder because obviously older brother Michael was a Penrith Panther as well and in the same position. So he was probably getting comparisons all his junior life.
Yeah, I know. I remember when we were young, we played in the same junior team. So
they're
always like, they're always saying, oh, Robert's going to be the best, this and that. Like, so he always had the pressure on him from the start. So he's bounced around clubs a bit, but it's good to have him back home now.
Yeah, it is. He's come full circle back to Penrith. The 2013 side was red hot too from memory. That might have been the year Regan Campbell-Gillard, Brycey Cartwright, Andy Sordens, Wunga Blake and Dallin, those guys. Is that about right?
Yeah, Dallin and James Roberts and all that.
Yeah.
Their team too. So.
Okay, who wins, the 2013 side or the 2015 side, if you had to put 100 on it?
We've had this discussion before with some of the boys when we were coming through, and we've always backed ourselves against them.
I love that. The Pathways program at Penrith. Who were some of the coaches you dealt with on your journey to first grade, and what did they do for you?
I've dealt with a few. Grant Mitchell was our maths coach, and he was a tough bastard. He used to flog us at training and stuff. Like, it'd be pouring rain and he would just flog us. And then I had Mark Horro, who was like real family orientated and bringing the team together. He kind of just sat back and let his assistant coaches do a lot of the I guess the field work with attack and defence, but he was like a culture building type coach.
Yep.
I think that was perfect for us at that time. And yeah, like with the team that we had that year, we didn't like expect to go as far as we did. And like, I guess it kind of showed that the team bonding kind of reflected that season. And then had Alex Chan, who's I think a few people he used to play first grade, and he's like a Catalans legend. He was a bit he was a different guy. He was a like a bit of a joker, and yeah, he was a hard one to get, but he was still a good fella. And then I had Ciro. Oh, I had Baz. I went up the 20s, and I had Trent Barrett.
Yep,
he was real smart and unbelievable coach. So the Doggies are lucky to have him. And then I had Ciro for 2 years.
What is it about the system that makes it so successful? Is it just because it's such a big junior nursery?
Yeah, I think just because, like, I guess when you're playing junior league footy, like, it's a tough competition already there, and you got,
yeah,
I guess, three or four teams in each age group that, like, a chance at winning it, and you come through, like, you have, like, rivalries against each other, and then when you make rep teams, like, then you're on each other's team, and you pretty much know them inside out by playing them 4 or 5 times a year anyway, and then you link up in the rep system, and you want to try and beat every other club. So I think that's the drive.
Thanks for dropping in, mate. Enjoy 2021.
No worries. Cheers. Thank you.
Want to know what's coming up on the podcast? Well, stalk us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at The Andy Raymond. Share the love and share the posts. Speaking of social media, I asked this question earlier in the week on the Unfiltered Facebook page. Who's the one player that missed State of Origin selection that's been hard done by, and why? We had a shitload of comments and theories. Here's a few of the best. Toby Witten said, Cameron Smith, because who's going to ref the game? Love it. Peter Nalu said, it would have to be RCG. I remember Freddie interviewing him after a game a couple of months ago, and he sheepishly said to Freddie, I'll see you in June. Wayne Neville said Jack Bird should have been the 14. Holly Miller, Gutho, but I'm biased. We love a little bit of Eels biased, Holly. Joe Hickory said Ben Hunt. I don't think he should have been punished for his pack's poor performance. Plenty of support for Daniel Tupou as well. Actually, I reckon there was probably more people for Daniel than anyone else. I love it. Thanks for the feedback. I value your opinions. I got the best followers on social media, bar none. Are you subscribed to the podcast? Make sure you are. Make sure you're running the automatic downloads. Then the next episode will drop automatically and immediately. You won't miss a thing. How much has the game changed in, say, the past generation? Let's go with 2005. We'll ask Sia Soliola, because he debuted in 05. He's still going strong. What's the one thing that's changed the most, mate, over those 16 years?
What I've said to a lot of people from when I first started to how I am now is that the physicality's not as big as what it used to be.
Yep.
I guess you could say because of less interchange, guys are forced to play a lot more minutes than what they used to. Like the example I was given is that I'm knackered after a game here, but it's not the same as what it used to be when, 15 years ago, where you were tired, but you were more sore.
Yeah, you were knackered, like, and you were also beat up.
Beat up, yeah. And I was like, just like thinking, yeah, that's probably the massive difference, because yeah, with the limited time and the speed, I guess the wrestle's taken.
Yeah.
Taking a lot of that physicality out, you know, not having that shoulder charge anymore, and having to be a little bit more technical with a lot of things, it's forced a lot of guys to sort of take that. Back in the day, you just take the handbrakes off and you just go on it, and so it's just like constant car wrecks.
Yeah.
Back then, but now it's a lot more controlled nowadays. And
yeah, that's probably a good way of putting it, mate. You started as an outside back. In today's game, the role of a winger or a centre is so much different to what it was back then, because in 2021, the wingers are the ones that are, you know, fighting the and taking the early hit-ups after a kick. You know, quite often it's winger hit-up one, hit-up two after a kick. It's a different role.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. They definitely got a lot more respect.
Yeah.
Now. They do, man. They definitely earn their coin, whereas back then they were just only they had sort of like that stigma, just like lone shies, you know. But now you see them doing as much work as anyone else on the on the field now. Since the comeback and playing with Jordy, Jordan Rapana, man, he's been amazing at that job, you know. He's just he's everywhere, you know, and like when you see all the good wingers that are like you know, taking first carry, or they'll swing and then they'll swing back in that as well. And you can really measure how hard they're working that as well now with science and sports science with the amount of Ks. And
yeah,
so
that's exactly right.
Yeah. And that really justifies their role and what they're doing rather than because you never really see that, those sort of efforts. Yeah. Whereas now you can, which is great. And, you know, the size of the guys as well. And they're just getting bigger and bigger because, you need them.
Mate, you spoke about the physicality. The front rower in 2021 or a middle player, they need to have good motors. They need to play big minutes. They need to have really fast feet. So that's changed as well over the last generation. Does that suit you, that style of football in the middle?
Yeah, for sure. And that's one thing I've really emphasized over the past couple of years. Basically, when I was like 30, I knew that my speed. Oh, Royce was the one that said it to me. Royce Simmons. He goes, basically, once your speed goes, you're screwed.
Yeah.
He said, man, you're effed.
Yeah.
Basically. So that's been in the back of my mind. So I really made a big focus that. I try and keep my speed as much as I can because, you know, basically once that goes, you're riding from the wall.
Thanks for the insight. See ya. Chat again soon and good luck on the weekend.
Thank you. Cheers, Andy.
At the end of 2018, Cameron King was without a club, but keen to continue playing. So why not roll the dice and try a different method of promotion? On Twitter, he posted the following. I said Twitter, not Tinder. It read, Cameron King, hooker, 90 kilos, all-round good guy, enjoys working hard and winning, looking for a club, please retweet to raise awareness. Cheers. Cameron King joins us, mate. I love it. The best I've seen. I'm thinking you may have typed the post and then maybe even sat there for half an hour thinking, do I or don't I actually press send?
Mate, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I ummed and ahed for honestly probably an hour.
Yeah.
I wrote it a couple of times, deleted it, and thought, what are you doing? You're an idiot. Yep. It's not going to get, you know, it's not going to get you anywhere. And I ended up, you know, I pressed it. I sent it out there. I went to the gym. So I didn't have my phone. And then about an hour and a half later, I looked at my phone. I had, you know, 500 retweets. I had messages, missed calls from people that I knew and that I didn't know.
Yep.
And it was honestly just done out of a bit of fun and a bit of frustration. But yeah, it was definitely something that took off and it was just a bit of fun. Yeah.
What was the best reaction or response you got? Can you recall?
Well, I got some calls, you know, to do some media about it. So some radio interviews and some TV interviews, which I thought was ridiculous at the time.
Yeah.
And I also got an offer to go and play in Russia.
What?
Go and help a team over there, learn about rugby league and, you know, sort of teach them the ways and just play in the local comp.
A little bit cold in Russia for you, I'd reckon, mate.
Yeah, I looked into it and thought, no, it's probably not for me.
Brilliant. What was the reaction from your mates and your teammates, just a good laugh, a good giggle? That's how it was intended.
Yeah, just having a laugh. And then obviously people saw, you know, there was a few stories written about it on Twitter and stuff like that. And once that sort of started happening, I thought, you know, it was a bit too far. And, you know, I didn't really know how to handle it or what to say about it because it was more just a, you know, spur of the moment thing. And I had to sort of start talking about it, which is a bit strange,
Had you been on the cans prior to sending it? Because I often do that. I have a couple and build up a little bit of a sense of humour and a little bit of bravery and go to Twitter.
I don't think I had. I think it was more just weeks and weeks of not having a club and just got to boiling point and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to try something different and ended up being a bit of fun.
A different story, a great story. Cameron King, thanks for chatting, buddy. If you're enjoying Andy Raymond Unfiltered, we'd love for you to go to Apple, Spotify or wherever you're listening and subscribe to the podcast and give us a 5-star rating and review. And if being polite doesn't work, maybe bribery will. One lucky reviewer wins an Unfiltered Truckers hat every week. That's how easy it is to win. There's a winner every week. This week's winner is Captain J. Captain J wrote a review on Apple and said, "My mate, the number 32, and I have not missed an Unfiltered episode yet. We love it. We listen to it together in the car on moonlit beach walks or just cuddled up with marshmallows in front of the fire. Unfiltered is the threesome to our twosome."
Oh, what the f***?
Captain J, you're a freak. Number 32, you're a freak too, but we'll overlook your obvious issues because you left a review. Thank you, legends. Get our attention. You could win the Truckers Cap next week. Possible topics to include in your review: what your favourite tree leaf is, the colour that should be added to your favourite team's jersey and why, or just out the worst punter in your group. Whatever works. I'm out of here, pub time, feed time, and I haven't found anything better than a cold beer and an oversized palmy on specials night to get me through. Have an awesome week, legends, and don't forget to back Pikey in the last.